This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Welcome to the Journal of Neurosurgery podcast for November 23rd, 2012. I'm Natalie Pinchem. I will be reading synopses of some of the articles published today. The topics of the articles featured in this podcast are oncology, Chiari malformation, and vascular disorders. Presentation, management, and outcome of newly diagnosed glioblastoma in elderly patients. A clinical article by Shota Tanaka and colleagues. Because optimum management for elderly patients with newly diagnosed elderly glioblastoma in the temozolomide era is not well defined, the authors reviewed outcomes in patients 65 years of age or older diagnosed at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester between 2003 and 2008. Half of the patients underwent biopsy and half underwent resection. Surgical complications were similar to those reported in younger patients. Adjuvant radiation and/or chemotherapy were administered in approximately 75% of cases. The median progression-free survival was 3.5 months, and the median overall survival was 5.5 months. In a multivariate analysis, younger age, single lesion, resection, and adjuvant treatment were associated with better survival. In patients who underwent resection, radiation therapy, and chemotherapy, the median progression-free survival was 8 months, and the median overall survival was 12.5 months. The prognosis for patients with glioblastoma worsened in elderly patients with increasing age. Even with important risks, resection and adjuvant treatment were associated with prolonged survival. The authors conclude that although selection bias in this retrospective study undoubtedly contributed to outcomes, advanced age alone should not necessarily preclude treatment with optimal resection followed by adjuvant radiochemotherapy. Impact of particular antiepileptic drugs on the survival of patients with glioblastoma multiforme, a clinical article by Greg Donald Guthrie and Sam Eljamel. Glioblastoma multiforme, commonly known as GBM, is a very dreadful tumor that carries a dismal prognosis despite advances in medical and surgical technologies. The authors of this study explored the hypothesis that patients treated with the antiepileptic drug sodium valproate survive longer because of the drug's anti-tumor properties. They reviewed the literature and their institutional database of confirmed GBMs and compared the survival of patients who had received valproate with the survival of patients who had received carbamazepine, phenytoin, or no antiepileptic drugs. They found that patients who had received sodium valproate were 2.7 times less likely to die from GBM than were those who had not received any anticonvulsant or who had specifically received phenytoin. They were 1.7 times less likely to die if they were on carbamazepine. The authors suggest that sodium valproate imparts anti-tumor effects through the inhibition of the histone pathways. They recommend that patients with a diagnosed GBM receive sodium valproate because of its anti-seizure properties and its potential anti-tumor benefits, while awaiting further studies to confirm these findings and to understand how sodium valproate imparts its anti-tumor effects. Surgical treatment of Chiari malformation with and without syringomyelia. Experience with 177 adult patients. a clinical article by Ulrich Batzdorf and co-workers. The authors analyzed the results of surgery in 177 adult patients with Chiari malformation. 55% had an associated syrinx cavity, most commonly in the cervical and thoracic area. They performed posterior fossa decompressions with C1 laminectomies in all of these patients. They opened the dura in the great majority and reduced the size of the cerebellar tonsils in over 75%, mostly by shrinking the tonsils with bipolar current. A duraplasty was performed in all cases. The duraplasty, in combination with reduction of the cerebellar tonsils, helped to establish subarachnoid spaces below and behind the tonsils. Headaches of different types were among the most common preoperative symptom and were more likely to occur in patients with an abnormally high body mass index, which was higher in men than in women. Sensory abnormalities and balance problems were the most common abnormal findings. Surgical establishment of retro and subtonsillar cisterns correlated with improvement in headaches and also with reduction of the syrinx cavities. The authors observe that headaches also may be due to contact of the tonsils with upper cervical roots and may therefore improve when the tonsils are reduced in size. They further note that enlarged subarachnoid spaces presumably transmit the CSF pulsations and thereby help to diminish syrinx distension. Surgical treatment for vertebral artery posterior inferior cerebellar artery aneurysms. Special reference to the importance of the cerebellomedullary fissure dissection. A technical note by Masato Kawashima and colleagues. The cerebellomedullary fissure is a space between the cerebellum and the medulla oblongata, which are often adherent to each other. The present study demonstrates the importance of the unilateral cerebellomedullary fissure dissection for clipping vertebral artery posterior inferior cerebellar artery aneurysms. The wide opening of the unilateral cerebellomedullary fissure on the lesion side made it possible to retract the inferolateral part of the cerebellum easily. It provided a wide operative field in the cerebellomedullary cistern for successful clip placement without difficulty. The concept of opening the cerebellomedullary fissure sufficiently to retract the cerebellum in the posterolateral approach is similar to that of opening the Sylvian fissure to create the wide space between the frontal and temporal lobes in the pterional approach. Thank you for listening to the Journal of Neurosurgery. To listen to more of our podcasts, please visit us at www.thejns.org. You can also follow the Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group on Twitter and now also on Facebook.